Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parigachara Astatara Shri Shimari Swain Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Dai Gaura Pramirandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthapitala Shrimadaitam All Krishna Prasanti Namne Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthapitala Shrimadaitam Bhakti Vinti Santi Namne Namaste Sharishwa Devi Gauravana Prachani Visheshuni Yodhi Pasita Adhastari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraya Nasta Preshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naisiki Hare Krishna. Okay, so today will be the last meeting till okay, till next year.
No, this year.
Oh, this year, that's right. So what I'll do today is we'll go through a quick revision of the first canto and the chapters that we have done so far. So catch up on what we did so far, right? So in the first chapter 1, Canto 1, Chapter 1. In the beginnings, Vyasadeva offers his obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the main thing. And then immediately after that, he glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam as completely pure, free from materially motivated activities. And especially nectarian, having come from the lips of Sukadev Goswami, Sukamukha Amrita Dravyam. Okay, so the first three verses is like that. Then from the verses 9 to 13 or 48, we see the narration of the Bhagavatam starts in the holy place of Naimisharanya. And what were the sages doing there? Yeah, 1,000 years sacrifice for? For the Kali Yuga to help them. And then at that time they saw Suta Goswami there, they glorified him, and then they started to inquire from him. Why did they inquire from him? Right. He had heard in the disciplic succession from Sukadev Goswami, and also he is considered to be very learned in that aspect, even though he wasn't good at chanting the mantras, right? And they started to pose three questions to him. Right, then they glorify chanting and hearing about the Lord and request Suta Goswami to speak to them about the Lord and his incarnations. Then after Sutta describes the age of Kali has just begun, the sages then ask the sixth question. Okay, so basically in the first chapter you get them asking six questions. Okay, and what are the six questions? That's the last one. Yeah, what is ultimate benefit for mankind? And then, what should one do? Essence of the Bhagavatam. What else?
Why did Krishna come?
Why did Krishna come? His avatars. Okay. Okay, the six questions: what is the ultimate benefit for mankind? What is the essence of all scriptures? What reason did the Lord take birth, particularly from Devaki? Then, what are the wonderful activities of the Lord and His incarnations, guna avatars, maintenance, and so on? And the fifth one is, describe all the activities of His incarnations within this particular universe. And the last one is, where has religion taken shelter after Krishna has retired to His own abode? Okay. So these were the six questions that they asked. Now, along with the six questions, in the chapter one, you'll find five conditions essential for proper understanding of the Bhagavatam. Unless they are there, then we don't have any way of understanding the six questions. Or we don't know what is going to happen. So these are all summarized in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So one of the things is, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports from verses 1 to 3 is, we should always hear about the pastimes of the Lord, name, glories, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because why? Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Puranam, the topmost scripture. And it rejects any kind of religion. And one should hear the Bhagavatam from who? From the devotees who are in the disciplic succession, bona fide disciplic or bona fide spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that we should become very fixed in the devotional service. Very important. We have to be fixed and not allow our mind to be deflected to anything else. I was just reading this from one of Srila Prabhupada's books where he says we shouldn't think about coming back in the next life to finish. He said, don't think like that. He said, try to go back in this lifetime. And then following that, in another place, Prabhupada says, just like the teacher is teaching his students, he wants the student to do well, so he's teaching like that. So in the same way, Lord Krishna wants us to do the service as well as we can. Not that He wants us to become 100% or, doing it. All He wants to see is our endeavor. So within this life, all of us should try to endeavor as much as possible. Work hard. Try to do your best. It's not that you're going to be like a big avatar or something. You won't be. But do your best. And then Krishna appreciates that. So that's thing that has to be considered very carefully. So don't think of coming back again. That's his point. But do your best. And then he says, patiently and submissively, one has to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you do that, this quality will allow us to understand the purports very nicely. Plus, we can revive our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why it's very important to listen very carefully. Okay? So if both the speaker and the hearer are qualified, then it's easily understand the scriptures very easily, and we can understand who Krishna is. And if we hear all these pastimes, you'll find that you can keep listening to the same pastimes over and over again. We don't get tired about Krishna's pastimes. So therefore it is considered to be ever fresh. Krishna's pastimes, names, glories are all ever fresh. And because they are ever fresh, they will attract us away from the horrible Kali Yuga. Okay? It'll attract us to Krishna instead of being in this Kali Yuga world. And another point Srila Prabhupada makes is, our lives is very short, okay, very short. And because our lives are very short, we should therefore fear. What should we fear? Fear what? Fear living in this Kali Yuga also. And therefore we should quickly accept devotional service or somebody
shelter,
that's right. Shelter of a devotee, a bona fide spiritual master. And then adopt the process recommended by who? Yeah, particularly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Because what did he preach? Yeah, Sankirtanya, hearing and chanting Krishna's glories according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So these are the 5 points that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes. Now the 6 questions, remember we were discussing the 6 questions? Now, 4 of these are answered in which chapter? Yes. And 2 are answered in? 3rd chapter. Okay. But of course, even though the answers are given, there's more questions are asked, and so it gets expanded. The 6 questions get expanded. So when the question asks, what is the absolute and ultimate good for people in general, the answer is found in 2nd chapter, verses 6 and 7, as well as verse 27. So the ultimate benefit for people in general is to become free from material bondage and develop love of God through devotional service offered only to Krishna, not to anyone else. So that is the first question. Now the second question, remember, what is the essence of all scriptures? So it is found in, again, verses 6 and 7. And it's also on text 28. So there it is explained that Krishna is the only object of worship. And our goal is to establish our lost relationship with Him through love and service, in devotional service. And that is the sum and substance of all Vedic literatures. Right? Then question 3. It asks, why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared? And you can say, this is in verse 12 and a little bit in 13 also. But in verse 12 it is asked. And the question is answered in chapter 2, verse 34. To reclaim those in mode of goodness. In addition, the question is also answered in chapter 8, verse 35. Then in canto 9, 4th chapter, verse 61. Canto 10, 8th chapter, verses 48 to 50. Canto 10, 33rd chapter, verse 37. Okay, that's for question 3. Question 4 is asked in verse 17 in the first chapter, okay, Canto 1. It says, describe the activities of the incarnations of the Lord. Okay, the answers are described very in summary in chapter 3 of the first canto. And then more detail are given throughout the remainder of the Bhagavata, more expanded version of those incarnations. Okay. Question 5 is asked in verse 18 of the first chapter, which asks, where they ask us to tell the acts of the Lord, what are His incarnation, His relation and in creation and so on. So particularly if you look at the purport the Prabhupada gives there. And the answer in chapter 2, verses 30 to 33. So he explains how the Lord Vasudev creates a material substance, enters into it in Purusha incarnations. And then this is further explained in cantos 3 and 4, where you'll see creation of the universe and the population of different species. Okay. So they expanded in those cantos. And then the final question, which is in verse 23. What is the question? Where have the religious principles gone after Krishna's disappearance from the planet? And then Sutta Goswami answers this question in chapter 3, verse 43. So he gives... He says, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, right? And it has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Remember? What is that verse? Krishne Dharma Jnana Divi Saha Kalonasta Drishamesha Puranarko Donitoho. So persons who have lost their vision due to dense darkness and ignorance of the age of Kali shall get light Purana Kudipa from this Purana. Okay? All right, so that's basically the first chapter, okay, and the answers where it's answered. Now, in the second chapter, then which we just discussed in summary, he'll answer the first four foundational questions, and we've just discussed that. Now, chapter 2, what is the title? Okay, y'all, like I said, you should know all the chapter titles. All of them. How many chapters are there?
19.
19 chapters, yeah. So you should know all of them, okay? Remember, y'all, next time I come in December or next year sometime, maybe I'll come maybe a week earlier. So the first week when I come, you'll be tested on the first canto, okay? So these are some things you should know. All the chapter titles. The verses I've given you all, so you know all the verses. I may ask all of them or just some of them. It could be verbal. I'll just pick on you and ask. Or if you don't want, you could write. But practice from now. You have 1 year to memorize the verses. So, and then short answers, questions have been given already. So go through that. I may pick a few from that. Okay, and then I'll just ask the same questions. And then the summary of the chapters. Okay, so maybe I may ask a summary of one chapter or another chapter, like that. May I say, give a summary of chapter 19, and what are the main principles in it, and how does it relate to the present condition in this world? So then you have to discuss that. It means it's not just regurgitating the thing, you have to think about it, or, you know, like that. Okay. The whole chapter is answer, a general answer, chapter 2, to what the questions are by Sutta Goswami. Okay, so in the beginning of the chapter 2, you see how Sutta Goswami offers his obeisances to his preceptors, Sukadev Goswami. Then he also says to Lord Narayan, Nara Narayan Rishi, Mother Saraswati, Vyasadev, right? And then Sutta Goswami then praises the sages for their inquiry. Why does he praise them?
Questions about Krishna have been so good, auspicious.
Yes, that's a good answer. Because they are about Krishna, and therefore they'll bring about auspiciousness. And therefore he was very happy to hear. And he stresses the importance of self-realization and the goal of self-realization. What is that? Goal of self-realization is devotional, loving devotional service to Krishna. So then he then goes a bit further. He says, why we have to do this loving devotional service? Because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. And therefore, one must satisfy him by devotional service. That's his emphasis, is that. So then he describes, you know, all the effects from one who's covered in material consciousness, gradually how he comes to the topmost position. Remember, we went through that, Shraddha and so on. So gradual process of consciousness of a devotee who overcomes the effects of the modes of nature, and then finally it comes to pure devotional service. All this is done through the process of hearing, okay, and serving a pure devotee or your spiritual master or devotees. Now, Sutta Goswami also says, he emphasizes many times Krishna's position. He is beyond the three modes of nature. So therefore, because he's beyond the modes of nature, we should not worship demigods, right? So we should be, who we are serious, we have to worship only him, because he's the goal of life actually. Everything else is within the material world and they are temporary. Therefore, it's pointless worshipping that. So then, towards the end, he describes how the Lord, even though he's transcendental, he's able to create the material universe, and then he even maintains that material universe. So therefore it shows his unique position. So that's, and Srila Prabhupada gives a summary of the chapter 2 towards the end. All right, now in chapter 3, Sutta Goswami replies to the fourth and sixth questions, and also he touches on the fifth question. And the title for the third chapter is? You all should know this. The source of all incarnations. Okay. So then here he describes about the Purusha avatars. Okay. And Purusha avatars are where? In the material creation only. Okay. And what is their role?
Creation, maintenance and destruction.
That's what they are doing. Okay. So then he briefly describes how many incarnations? 22 incarnations. Okay. So you should know all this, even though it may seem foolish, but we should know our Bhagavatam, you know. We are supposed to know our Bhagavatam. That's the reason we are saying. It's not that, you know, that you are memorizing anything, but you should know some fundamental things. And people ask you, you say, this is how many things he is describing. So that at least people know that we know our topics. Not that you have to be big jnani, big head or whatever. That's not the goal. But you know, we know what Prabhupada has written. Okay? And these 22 incarnations appear where? In this particular universe. Okay? All right. But is that the only number of incarnations? Unlimited incarnation. So that also you have to explain to people.
It's actually this planet Earth itself, right? It's universe.
It's universe. How do you know only planet? Some of the pastimes are happening in heavenly planets.
Oh.
Yeah. Vamanadev. He comes there and then here. Yeah. So anyway, then you should know the verse. Nete chamsa. Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam, Indrayari, Vyakulam, Bhagavante, Yuge, Yuge. So, try to memorize these verses. Okay, this particular verse is known as the Paribhasa Sutra. Based on this verse, the entire Bhagavatam is centered around it. Even though the sages ask the 6 questions, which actually expanded the Bhagavatam, but it's all based on this particular verse. Just like devotional service is centered around one particular verse. What is that? No.
Always remember Krishna.
Yes. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. What is the verse? Smartavyam. What? Satatam Vishnu Vismartavyam na jatusid. Vidinishedyam evade kinkaraha. Alright, so know these things because it's fundamental to our Vaishnavism. It's basic things. This is basic and fun. So you should know this. I think the verses you all know, so make sure everybody knows this. And then people ask you, say it's centered around this. If you understand this, no matter how you people discuss, you can always bring them to this principle and say, this is how it should be. And then don't waste time arguing. You know? So it's very important. Some basic principle, fundamental verses you should know. It's not that you should know all the verses. That is nice. But that's not our goal. Goal is to... always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Okay? Yeah. So try to know that. Alright, then Sutta Goswami continues to explain the material forms, both the gross and subtle, of both the Lord and the living beings. And these are all, he says, the Lord's form is actually not real but imaginary. Yeah. Because it's based on the Virat Roop, but this is an imaginary Virat Roop because it's based on the planetary system. Yeah. It is for who?
Neophytes.
Yeah. People who cannot really accept the form of the Lord. So for them, if you say it's a universe like that, then they can accept because they cannot accept the Lord with a human form. So they can accept something that is impersonal in a sense. Like that, yeah. So, why is the glories and pastimes of the Lord so important?
Because they help us attract.
Go on. They help us to attract who?
Conditioned
living entities for?
To Krishna.
Attract to Krishna for?
Devotional service.
To perform devotional service, yeah. That's why these pastimes are important. And the more you hear, the more you get purified to? Yes, to do devotional service. Our constitutional position is to?
Render
devotional service. Okay. And towards the end, Sutta Goswami glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam as the? No, he doesn't say that.
Mahapurana.
he says it is also the incarnation of Lord Krishna and is meant for delivering these souls of in the age of Kali Yuga. And then he describes how the Bhagavatam is given to who? Sukadev Goswami. Okay. All right. So, know who, what are the Purusha incarnations? Okay. What are the Purusha incarnations? Karana Dakasha Vishnu, Garbha Dakasha Vishnu, and Shiro Dakasha. And who is the Vishnu that within this universe takes incarnations? Shiro Dakasha Vishnu. Okay. And what about Krishna?
Bhagavan
Swayam. He's Swayam Bhagavan. So, he came himself, right? Not through Shri Dakasha Vishnu. Okay? And
Prabhu, only once in a day he comes directly, otherwise he'll come to Shri
Dakasha, right? Yes, once in a day. Krishna is not an incarnation, right? He is the Swayam Bhagavan, he is Avatari. Yeah. Right. So, we should understand how the Lord descends and then we will be enriched with this knowledge. Okay. To come to this perfection of purity and so on, again, to emphasize, we should hear
attentively
what? Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream of Vedic literature, from a
bona fide
exactly. Okay. Now the fourth chapter discusses what? Appearance of Narada. Okay.
Prabhu, every Dwapara Yuga Krishna doesn't come?
No.
Only once in a day of Brahma.
Once a day of Brahma. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is only once.
Okay. Yeah.
It will be Krishna, but he is Shri Dakasha Vishnu Krishna.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, anyway, let's not get into that. We are going through a summary. We can talk about it later. Okay. All right, so... Now, chapter 4 is the appearance of Narada. So, Shaunaka Rishi asks him how about the history of Sukadeva Goswami speaking the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And then Sutta Goswami tells him how Vyasadeva compiled and edited the Vedic literatures for the benefit of the souls of Kali Yuga. After doing that, still he was not satisfied. So, he was in what? Despondency. Until who came? Okay, until Narada Muni came. So then Shaunaka Rishi actually asked some question. He says, when, where and why was Bhagavatam recited, right? In the beginning, remember? And then he says, from where did Sukadev's father, Vyasadeva, get the inspiration to compile the Bhagavatam? And then they wanted to know how Sukadev Goswami was recognized as a great sage, even though he was wandering like a naked madman when he came to Hastinapur. And then how did Maharaj Parikshit meet Sukadev Goswami? And how, why did he go to the bank of Ganges to fast so that he can die? And then they wanted to know why he was giving up his body when so many people depended on the king. Okay, so this was the thing. So basically, we have to know that Bhagavatam contains the direct pastimes of the Lord. And it will allow us to, once we hear it properly, to engage in pure devotional service. And that's the only thing that can satisfy all of us, actually. And it is effective only when we hear it from disciplic succession. This is important to know, because otherwise we don't pay proper attention, we'll hear from anyone, any Tom, Dick or Harry. But if Tom, Dick and Harry is not in disciplic succession, we can't hear from them, right? We cannot hear from Tom, Dick or Harry. There must be some Das or Goswami in the disciplic line. Alright. Okay. Bhagavatam is actually specially arranged after Vyasa Puja heard from Narad Muni, for us, because we are very unfortunate, so that we can make full use of it and then get the ultimate achievement. And this is all described in the verses 14 to 25. Unless we actually do devotional service, as how the Bhagavatam is explaining, we cannot get purified. Not possible. So it's very important to do devotional service. Okay. Now then we continue to chapter 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 5 is Narada's instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. Narada Muni, he understands why Vyasadeva is in despondency. And what was his reason? He tells.
Sufficiently glorified.
Yeah, he didn't sufficiently glorify. He compiled, what did he compile up to that point?
Vedas and Mahabharata.
He also compiled the Bhagavata.
But
it was not in an extended version. It was a very summarized, short version. Okay.
And also encouraged the enjoying propensity through Vedic rituals.
Right. That's right. So therefore he wasn't feeling so happy. Yeah. He felt something was missing. And then Narad Muni could understand his mind, and already he knows. So he told him true happiness cannot come by any means other than devotional service. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise we'll always are under the modes of material nature. If you don't do devotional service, you are under the modes of nature, all of us, whether we are initiated or not. If you don't devotional, if you are not doing it, we are. Unless we are 24/7 focused on devotional service. Otherwise, we are, all of us. So that's why it's very dangerous. So we have to become trained to render devotional service, and then it'll remove our miseries. So therefore you have to approach and surrender and train. Srila Prabhupada says this so many times throughout the Bhagavatam, from a bona fide spiritual master who is engaged in Krishna's service. Alright, because the Bhagavatam represents the pastimes and glories of the Lord, hearing the Bhagavatam from a pure devotee is the best method for removing our impurities, to revive our devotional service. We are attracted to so many types of mundane literature. Okay? It's a fact. You hear something nice or what, or some maybe somebody is singing some song, and then we like that song, and then everybody wants to hear that song, right? And the whole world is everybody singing the song. You go to the airport, you go everywhere, you hear the songs. Right? And then you also sing. And then you think, oh, I shouldn't be singing, then you'll sing Hare Krishna in that tune. Right? We do that. So this is natural, because we are not pure in our actions. So therefore we will be attracted to the material nature. It is a natural thing. Unless you focus on Krishna, otherwise it's no choice. We have no choice. We will be attracted by the material nature. So these are things that the Bhagavatam is trying to tell all of us, and which Prabhupada really pushes these points in the purports. Because, as I said from the beginning of the class, we shouldn't be thinking of coming back to finish devotional service. We should be thinking, this is my last life. I want this to be my last life. Doesn't matter what your position is. Just have this focus, and then you do your best, and if you are sincere, you will go back in this lifetime. And so it's in a sense, Srila Prabhupada is guaranteeing that. But thing is, you have to be sincere and you must do it properly. Don't do it half-heartedly. Do it full-hearted and you'll see the results. So therefore, we should keep hearing the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam by hearing will remove all the impurities. Because it's the most superior literature among the Vedic literatures. Okay? Remember the five things in devotional service that can give us pure devotional service? One of them is? Yeah, hearing Bhagavatam. So you hear the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees is so powerful. It should take you back to Godhead. Anything you do outside of devotional life is useless. It is doomed. But anything you do in devotional service is eternal. Yeah. So even if a devotee falls, the Lord still comes to help him. Right? In Bhagavad Gita is? Apichet Sudara Acharo. Right? What were you saying? Yeah, swift deliverance. Okay, so whatever material attachment we have, you have to use it in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, we will not be able to get out of the entanglement. The entanglement is complex, like the spider web. So very difficult. So, if you are very determined, Prabhupada in the purpose explained, one who is determined to go back to Godhead must surrender to and take training and hear Bhagavatam from a pure spiritual master who represents Krishna. It doesn't mean you shouldn't in your mind think, oh, only a spiritual master. No, siksha gurus and so on. Anyone who can give you this, take shelter from that hearing. So, you take that shelter of that, but at the same time, you must be able to come to a point of rejecting your
mind.
Desires in the mind. Because it's going to pop up every now and then. You have to tell the mind, no, I can't. Thank you, but I can't. You know? Yeah. And then the mind will fight, you are so close to me, now you are not my best friend anymore. So, but you have to say, sorry, Krishna is my best friend. And then the mind will fight again, what kind of friend you are. We were together, we went all through life. So you tell the mind, sorry, you know, no more. So then we have to reject. Alright? So by rejecting that and hearing and doing service, we can get a strong desire to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. Yeah, so determination is very important, which is emphasized in the chapter 5. Chapter 6 is the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. Particularly here, Vyasa inquires from Narada how his life was. Okay? How Narada's life, how does he know all these things? And so he wanted to know about his life. So then Narada describes how everything happens and how, having served the sages, then he got mercy from them. And the mercy was so powerful that he was attached to his mother, so that even the mother was taken away by the providence, he says. So then he meditated on the Lord based on the teachings of these Bhaktivedanta sages, and then he could see the Lord. But because he wasn't sufficiently purified, the Lord only gave him a glimpse and then said, you know, I'm going to increase your attraction for me, and then you'll become perfect because of the attraction. So that's the same as like what we are doing in our chanting. As we chant purely, we will miss the Lord so much that we will burn away all our anarthas. So therefore, attentive hearing and chanting is so important for all of us. You can chant walking, you can chant doing any other way, but the effect is not as good as it says, as when you're sitting and chanting. I know some of you can't sit properly and so on, so get a chair or whatever, but try to sit and be attentive to your chanting. Any other way you chant, you talk and so on, will not give you as much benefit. In fact, it will make it worse sometimes. So try to, you know, sit in front of deities or Tulsi Maharani or whatever. Either if you can't sit on the floor, get a chair and sit like that, but try your best. It will take time, yes. Yeah, Prabhupada. First you control your mind and then chant nicely. Then later on you will know you can do japa walks also. Now, it's not that you can't do japa walks and all. You can do that. It's not like that. I'm saying try to do some quality rounds at least, you know. Because you may think it's good and you'll go, but you are distracted by so many things around you. You know. But Prabhupada, he can walk and he still sees Krishna everywhere. So, yeah. So we can do, you know, for sometimes some people have no time, so they have to do exercise and this. So then they want to walk. So the main goal was to walk, exercise, not to chant. So these are the reasons why we should understand why we are chanting and then focus that first. Then later on you can walk and chant extra rounds. Yeah, like that. Huh?
Not the 16,
extra. Well, and every round should be perfect, but if you can do what you promised properly, then extra rounds you can do. So anyway.
I sit and chant, but I thought maybe walking is also okay.
It's okay for, you know, in the beginning if you need to really. For some people, because the mind is so evil, you may have to walk for until you get it some control, then you can sit. What you can do is walk for, you know, a little bit, then come and sit and then do. That way, the point is you have to start controlling the mind. You have to say you are superior than the mind, remember? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego and the soul. So the soul is higher than the mind. But the problem is we let the mind control through our contaminated intelligence. So you have to practice little by little. Of course, baby steps. Okay. Anyway, like I said, you know, we all have some problems. Let's work on it and try to focus on, yeah. Because our mind may be so disturbed, we need to walk. Yeah. But anyway, that's a different story. I'm sure when you really read all the scriptures and so on, concentrated chanting is recommended. And I don't think you can really concentrate if you're walking. Yeah. So you can start in the beginning walking, but when you're serious, you should sit down and then try it. You know, maybe try one round. And, you know, don't have to try 16. Try one round sitting and concentrate. See how difficult it is. So that's why you need to start now, because how much time we have, you know. So, okay. You know, I also walk sometimes, because my mind is also fighting me. But I'm saying we all have to practice like that. All right, the Lord appeared and then he became grief-stricken. All right, then the Lord spoke to him and then made him feel happy that, you know, you'll quickly come to me. That's what the Lord said. One of the things that we can understand is if you're not qualified, you cannot have the Lord's darshan, which is what we learned from Narad Muni's thing. And the Lord gave the darshan to increase his hankering for him. That's right. So, devotional service is so powerful that a young boy like Narad Muni, just for a few days he did and he became so fixed in his intelligence, firm intelligence. And that intelligence to perform pure devotional service is pure. So then after explaining his meeting with the Super Soul, Narada then tells Vyasa that he spent his remainder of the life traveling, remember, through different places, how the economy was, everything is described by Srila Prabhupada. And then he describes his next birth. How was his birth? Like? Lightning. Lightning, yeah. Suddenly, boom, and he's in a new body. And then he sees himself being? Yeah, he was sucked in by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And also he went into the Brahma, absorbed by Brahma. So in the next birth he came out as son of Brahma. And that was made by the Lord for this particular pastime, so that he can serve the Lord in that way. Okay? Alright, then let's go to chapter 7. Chapter 7 talks about the son of Drona punished. So they wanted to find out, after Vyasa's description, Narada's description, his departure. And so then, let's see. Yeah. Okay, so they wanted to find out about the battle of Kurukshetra, what happened. And so the sages, everything, listened to him tell about Aswatthama, how he killed all the sons of Draupadi when they were all sleeping. And then after that, he ran away from that place when Arjuna and his brothers came. And then whilst they were coming, Aswatthama ran away. And so then Arjuna and Krishna chased him, and he got worried. Aswatthama then shot his Brahmastra, and Arjuna also released his Brahmastra, and then he took it away under the instruction of Krishna. Okay, he neutralizes it. Then Krishna tells him that he should be killed. Aswatthama should be killed. But Aswatthama then brings him back to the Pandava, and there Draupadi and the other Pandavas were very unhappy to see how Aswatthama, who's the son of their teacher, was. And so some of them say kill and some say don't kill. And then finally Krishna tells Arjuna, okay, you decide, you know, I want him killed and she doesn't want, so what do you want to do? So then he understood by he taking the jewel away from his head, that by humiliating him, and cutting the hair. I don't know whether they say cutting it. But by humiliating him, it's as good as killing him for a Kshatriya like that. Hmm? And then they did their final rituals for their relatives who were slain in the battle. Hmm? Okay. So there are some points like Varnashram, how a lady acts, qualities of a woman. These are highlighted in the purports of Srila Prabhupada. So you need to know those things as well. And then Srila Prabhupada also talks about Atmarama in this, some of these verses. So you have to look at that and understand that also. Chapter 8 is prayers of Queen Kunti. Okay. So before that, Uttara has been threatened by Aswatthama again. You know, they released him after doing that. Still, he wants to kill the last child of the Kuru dynasty. So, but anyway, when the Brahmastra comes and destroys the baby, Krishna goes in and destroys the Brahmastra and protects or gives him back his life again. So then when she witnesses Krishna's kindness upon her family, then Kunti then gets overwhelmed in ecstasy, and then she starts glorifying the Lord very nicely. And I think if you all can memorize that prayers, it'll be very nice. And you can also use that prayers to pray to Krishna. It'll be very nice for all of. Okay. So then chapters 9 and 10. 9 is the passing away of Bhishma Dev. The reason for that is that even though the war was over, Bhishma Dev wasn't ready to leave until he sees his Lord. Okay, so therefore he waited for Lord Krishna, and at the same time Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to meet Bhishma Dev to get some instruction from a Mahajan, to show people that Bhishma Dev is not an ordinary person. Even though he took the wrong side, Krishna wanted to show everybody, despite all that, he's still my devotee. He lost, because you don't fight against Krishna, you will lose, but still he is my devotee. And so we see a very wonderful exchange between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma Dev, and those prayers also, in detail you can look at it in the Shanti Parva of Mahabharata, okay? And the prayers between Krishna, Bhishma to Krishna is very important. You can see how he is so amazed by Krishna, and he describes him and he prays to Krishna. And then he also asks the gopis for blessing before finally he meditates on Krishna. In which form? What is that form he meditates? Parthasarathi form. Okay. Then he goes back and he gives up his thing. Okay, so anyway, I have to go. Right? Because I got to go and prepare. I got an early flight. So then I'm going to stop here.